So allowing our eyes to close. And really visualize, feel that we are sharing a space here together, sharing a gathering. To honor something that we hold dear in our hearts. Each one of us has a name for it. Or a feeling for it. So just this little moment of remembering that we are gathered, and then don't do anything in particular. Take refuge. I guess that means just don't do anything. And whenever something problematic arises, surrender it to this openness that we are sharing. But actually everything is surrendered effortlessly, moment by moment. So perhaps you don't even need to do that particular offering. It's just that sometimes there's a feeling or a thought that grabs us, robs our attention. And in that moment, we seem to have forgotten that everything is offered moment by moment, so we can do it consciously. We take a hold of that thought or that feeling, and we place it delicately on the altar. And we return to doing nothing in particular. Which is very sacred indeed. doing nothing in particular doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Plenty is happening. In fact, doing nothing in particular makes way for experience to show its true colors moment by moment. But perhaps there are moments where we are interested in this unfolding of experience. We're tasting actively the intensity of sensation, following a line of thinking. And then the next moment we're back, sort of back, welcoming the totality of our experience. And we're a bit less interested in the particularities or textures. We're somehow drawn to the field or to the silence. The vastness, the very thing that defies any name. Because it simply isn't an experience, and yet it is an experience. And it's a bit like that. We go back and forth. Sometimes we're drawn towards perceptions, sound of Ellen's voice, the raw intensity of sensation in the body. Or the subtle energies of the body. Or the line of thoughts. And then it's almost as if we orbit experience, phenomenal experience, the planets of our thoughts, feelings, sense perceptions. We sort of find ourselves moving away until we're no longer in the gravitational pull of experience, and we're just floating within as that which is not nameable. Or maybe we're not floating in and as this openness, this vast expanse, but perhaps we're taking little sips of openness. Or perhaps little sips of openness are being poured into our being. Into our body. Into our thoughts. Into our hearts. Feel the weight of your body and surrender it into this openness. If it isn't already happening, you can encourage, for example, your hips and your thighs, your knees and your calves, your ankles and your feet, to melt into the earth. And you can harness the breath to help. You can allow your exhale to caress any density in the hips, the thighs, the knees, the ankles, the feet. And tasting as well as coaxing, simply tasting the quality of the contact between the body and the chair, the cushion, the floor. And I know that for many of us, there's some unpleasantness. There's the experience of a hard floor, for example. But be open to the possibility that that is actually a kind of thought. The floor is hard. It's a thought. It's a sort of defense. It's a hard thought. But be open on a tactile level to a soft, supporting earth floor. And now feel your arms, feel your shoulders. Feel your upper arms, your elbows, your lower arms, your wrists, your hands, your fingers, your fingertips. Say, hello, arms. I don't know you directly. I'm always thinking you, conceiving of you. Speak to me, arms. And then you just listen. Listen, your breath will help you listen to your arms. Feel the heat of your palms, of your hands. Listen, What does it do? What does it say? How does it connect with the support of your lap, of the floor? And listen to the resistance, the tension that begins to surface in many areas of the body, maybe not just in the arms, maybe in the chest, in the jaw, in the back of the shoulders. Allowing this intensity of sensation . Feel your face. And really, you don't direct your attention towards the face, or whenever we're exploring an area of the body, your legs or your arms, you don't direct your attention towards. You just open your listening. Your tactile listening, you let the sensation arise. Sensation of the face, the forehead, the eyes, the cheekbones. Hello, the mouth, the jaw, tongue, teeth, the ears, the whole face, the breath is free. I don't live in the body, at least not now in the shrine. I take my stand as this availability, this listening presence. And I listen to the body as it unfolds in me. I don't live in the body. Or as a body. Really, I don't. Discover that in this moment. It's more the body dancing, alive, unknown, moment by moment. And it's a body that includes the earth, the space, the sound of Ellen's voice. Feel your whole body now, not just the face, not just the arms, not just the legs. Not just the pelvis, not just the torso. Feel it as one whole global mass of aliveness, including the unpleasant, the pleasant. And let this mass of vibration penetrate the space all around it, under it, above it. As if you were sort of combing your body out, holding it out into the openness so that it can taste something fresh, something free. And if there are layers that are protesting because we're spending time in stillness, see that you're probably covering up the protest, the tension, the pain with resistance. So take a place in the body that might be struggling and go to it with kindness. You might want to use the breath and your heart. It doesn't make any sense what I'm saying, so the rational mind is really not invited. With your heart and your breath, you go to the place that is crying. Yes, and you discover what happens. You don't intend anything. You don't really know. In my case, what just happened is the breath and the heart went over to my shoulders and unhooked my arms from my torso. And shook my arms out into the openness. Again, feel your whole body. And now very gently push the top of the head towards the ceiling, letting the spine elongate. Elongate, elongate. At the same time, drop your arms, drop your legs, drop your pelvis, your hips. And now don't push the top of the head, just let the torso be free-floating, like a cloud. It's free-floating in openness. And now very slowly the spine is rounding, the lower, middle, upper back, collapsing like a heavy substance. Breath is free. Let the belly move with the in-breath. Move with the out-breath. And if you're sitting on the floor, very slowly, you're going to extend your legs forward. Your back is rounded. Your legs are extending forward. If you're on a chair, just allowing your back to be round and just keep your legs as they are, or you can extend them a bit. Make sure that the left leg is completely contacting the floor, the back of the heel, calf, knee, thigh, left hip. Same with the right leg, feel the right heel, calf, back of the right knee, the thigh, the hip. And now slowly from the pubic bone, sliding the pelvis forward and feeling a line of energy from the pubic bone slowly rising up as the torso elongates very slowly. In fact, feel you're not doing it, it's just happening. Whole front of the torso caressing the space in front, but your legs and your hips are dropping into the floor. Welcome anything that there's no right or wrong. You're not going to be Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect. You're going to be Mr. and Mrs. Imperfect. Chaos. Let the chaos of the body dance. What happened with the shoulders? Is there a little micro tension in the shoulders? Can you let them drop the shoulders? Yes, now again, the rounding of the back, the lower back. It's like a sort of rolling back, lower, middle, upper. And as you move back with the back and it rounds, make sure that the hips get a chance to completely let go in case they were holding something. Breath is free. There's nothing happening. We're not doing anything in particular. Remember, we're in the shrine. Very little happens in the shrine. And yet so much happens when nothing happens. What happens in your sacrum, in your buttocks, in your sexual area? Just listening. Yes, the breath is free. And then again, without doing it, letting the pelvis slide forward. It's slowly rising up from the pubic bone, and then the rest of the torso follows suit towards the vertical. Feel it more in the front of the body rather than in the back of the body. Very sensual. At the same time, dropping the hips, dropping the shoulders, dropping the eyelids, dropping the arms. Welcoming the cacophony of sensations. And now slowly we're going, for those who were on the floor extending their legs, slowly let the legs cross again, or whatever position you had to begin with that was comfortable. Come back to it very slow, so as not to sort of densify the body again. Never wrapping the body back into a body bag, especially when it's safe, which it hopefully feels quite safe in these gatherings, then it's a chance to unwrap the body. It's a chance for the skin to connect with the space beyond. Feel your skin, your hands, your arms, touch of your clothes, touch of the clothes on your torso, the front, the back, the sides, skin of your hips, your legs, your thighs. Just feel the whole envelope of the body, of your body, beginning to talk. I wonder what the sound would be if we could hear the pores of our skin talk. Let the skin touch. Well, it does. That's what skin does. That's what skin is. So feel pure touch, tactile. Don't have to manufacture it. It's already what it is. And if you had no reference to any image, if you had never seen a body, your body, never seen the image of a body, if you only had your tactile sense to go by with, I'm not sure I'm speaking correct English, only your tactile sense, would you know where the contour of your body really is in this moment? Would you even ask yourself that question if you didn't have to? Just enjoy the possibility of no fixed contour. And perhaps even enjoy the possibility of no borders. You don't have to manufacture the feeling of no borders. Just be open to the possibility that it's actually your experience, and that what comes in the way of that is just habits of thought that create feelings. But don't worry about my words. I'm being too technical. Now let's explore a bit of movement. Feel your fingertips wherever they are. Fingertips resting on your lap, on the floor. Just feel the tips of your fingers touching whatever they're touching. Very alive. Let your fingertips move forward on the surface of the chair, the cushion of the floor. And then the arms take off into the space. They rise up. Long, very slow. Feel the density of the space. You're not seeing the arms, you're feeling the arms. You don't know where the arms end, so let them be as long as they would like. Resting the arms on a horizontal plane. And now feel the shoulders. Make sure the shoulders can drop down into the hips. And make sure that the legs and the hips are carried by the earth. And that the breath is allowed to move. And now we carve the space right and left with the arms. They open very slow. Feel that you're tasting a river of sensation. And now the palms turn to face the space in front. And now very slowly, as they come back to where they started, let the arms carve the space in whatever way. The hands touching the space, the elbows folding back. Slowly the arms are returning, dissolving. See if you can not do it, but rather just experience it. The arms dissolving down. Hands back on the lap, on the chair. Arms surrendering, shoulders surrendering. Now just the right arm, fingertips moving forward, and the right arm lifting up its weightless, long fingers, the arm falling all the way up to the ceiling. Armpit open, beaming a light into the space in front. Fingertips, fingers alive, not dead. And now drop the right arm into the right arm. Drop the right shoulder into the right hip. Feel the left arm. Drop the left arm into the support of the lap, the leg. Make the two shoulders one sensation. Yes, and then slowly let the right arm melt in whatever way it wants. There's absolutely no right or wrong. See what the fingers, the wrists, the elbows do as the arm dissolves back like a, don't know what. I don't know what. And then there's nothing there. The right arm returning, dropping. No reason to do any of this, just reacquainting ourselves with our tactility, our aliveness, and with the openness that seems to be our natural habitat. Compare the two shoulders. Make sure you're welcoming the layers of difficulty and resistance always, all through these sessions. That's so good that these layers are surfacing. Obstacles, tensions, seeming obstacles. They're not obstacles, they're just innocent. Now the left fingertips coming to life. Let them move, touch the cushion, the floor, the chair. Very alive, the fingertips, the texture. And now the arm, left arm, weightlessly flowing. It's not an arm, is it? Who knows what it is, all the way up to the ceiling. Smooth. No jerkiness. Make sure the doer or mover doesn't get into the picture. If you feel the doer straining, just see if you need to move back a little bit. Or now surrender the left arm into the left arm. Surrender the left shoulder into the left hip. Make sure the breath is free. There's no obligations for it to be perfect. Now feel the right arm, resting the right arm onto the right leg. Welcome the resistance. Yes, and then the left arm melting, maybe from the fingertips first, and then it's the wrist, and then it's the forearm, the elbow, everything moving down, down. Don't do it, follow it, taste it. You're the openness to which the left arm returns. And it dissolves into. Everything dying. Dying becomes something so nice. I don't know why we fear death so much. If this is going to be death, this return to the openness. I guess maybe when a body dies, it's a little bit more complex, the return. There's a lot going on. But still, isn't it reassuring to know something about dying? At every moment, now let your forearms slide off your lap. Just your forearms, they're at a right angle with your upper arms. And your hands are dropped. They're hanging from the wrists. Okay, now drop the shoulders, really drop the shoulders into the elbows. And now from the elbows, moving the elbows up, pushing the shoulders. It's the elbows that are pushing the shoulders up towards the ears. Going up. It's the first time, even for those of you who were with Eric yesterday or the day before, no memory. It's going up, up, up. Make sure the breath is free, and now from the elbows, coming down, smooth, down. One flow, down, down, down. No anticipation, down, down, down. More, there's so much more, more. Now just the right elbow, pushing the right shoulder up. Slowly, up, 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 up. Make sure the left shoulder hasn't risen at all. It's completely dropped. Back of the neck is free. Welcome the resistance, it's just intensity. And now we switch, right elbow coming down, down, left elbow moving up, up. No rush, last one is the winner. Down with the right, up with the left. What's happening in the hips and the legs and the buttocks? Is there any clenching? For what? Drop the right shoulder completely. Left shoulder is hovering. And we switch again. The right goes up, up. Left goes down. A little bit faster, smooth. And the right shoulder and left shoulder arrive at the same time. And we switch. No jerkiness, ironing out the movement of any jerkiness. Welcome the tensions. Welcome that one who's not happy because it's really far from perfect. Who is that one? Yes, and now the left shoulder just comes down, 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 down. The hands come back down on the lap. wrap the body back up, just sensing, tasting the reaction in the shoulders. The mind might be saying, this is really boring, this is stupid, what's this for? And then so you get to welcome that little circus. Sometimes if there's a lot of thinking, you can listen to the thoughts for a bit to just to give them a bit of credit. And once you notice that there's sort of mechanical and repetitive thoughts that you know by heart, off by heart, you can trace the thoughts or the thinking back sort of into the body, back into the place where thinking seems to originate, or where the thinker seems to live, which often is in the head area. Like, you know, behind the forehead and the eyes and in the jaw. And then you just don't do anything, but just really feel that sensation of thinking, of straining. Feel the whole body again. Sometimes we give attention to a localization, but it's important to then return to the totality of the sensation of the body. Feel it as one global sensation. In fact, feel not just your body, but feel the totality of your experience. Don't itemize anything. And not just simply sensing the coming and the going of the breath. The inhale, the rest, the exhale, the rest, it's like a wave. The inhale rises from the pubic bone to the head. Top of the head or wherever in the head area, then there's a rest. And then the exhale from the top of the head down through the central axis of the body, into the pelvis, into the earth. Giving yourself permission not to pull the inhale, but to let the inhale rise out spontaneously for you to taste. The rest, and then the exhale, giving yourself permission not to have to push the exhale, just follow the exhale. Smooth, even breath that you can elongate ever so effortlessly. If you know Ujjayi breath, you can apply the filter in the back of the throat. the rest at the bottom of the exhale. Taste the texture of that rest. Tasting the quality of the rest at the top of the in-breath. Very different qualities. Sometimes the rest at the bottom of the exhale is difficult. There's a quality of fear of letting go, a quality of unknown. So just really allowing whatever presents itself at that junction, at that turn. At the top of the in-breath, in the rest, allowing dilatation, expansion, letting the breath spread out. Feel with the in-breath that you're filling the space inside, but also outside. Or rather that the breath is filling the space. You don't have to do it. With the exhale, emptying the space. You don't have to do anything. These are images and tactile suggestions to challenge the habit of being the located breather. You are not a located breather. But the habit of feeling that you are is very, very convincing. Isn't it strange that we have to practice what we are because we are convinced of something we are not? Clearly, there must be a reason for that, which I really don't know what it is, but it's very, very playful, this whole adventure. Now don't do anything. Just remember that we're together. Without opening your eyes, remember the faces you saw when we started out. The friendliness and just abiding together in that friendliness. The faceless friendliness that when we soon open our eyes will take the shape of all our faces. Before we open our eyes, I'm going to suggest we take 5 minutes just to transition or to turn our cameras off or not. And then we come back. Thank you. Welcome back. Well, if anybody wants to speak or ask or share, feel free. We have a half hour, so not very much time, but feel free. Feel free. Who's here for the first time? Just Kamini, you're new, yeah. And Mukti and Janice. Welcome, welcome. Well, this is a time, you know, if something about the exploration is unclear, or if there was something experienced that you want to share or clarify, or really it could be anything. You're very, very welcome, and no obligation. Len, how come you have a fire burning in California? I can't believe it. What is happening?
It's raining heavily and it's cold.
No way. Yeah. That is weird. That's that is right. Great. That is great, because yeah. Usually it's fire season now.
I know, so I'm cold. So first fire in 6 months.
You can pretend you're English or something.
Hi.
Hi, Mukti.
Hi. I just, yeah, thank you, because it was delicious to go into the body and just feel and let it be and just, yeah. And it felt really safe here to just, yeah. Thank you.
Nice to have you with us. Where are you in the world?
Near Barcelona, in Spain.
Okay. Thank you for putting your voice out.
Thank you for opening.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi there.
Hi. I just thank you so much for that. I just wanted to say that this was a really amazing experience, one global sensation. But I've been feeling, because of the type, maybe I've just been really busy at work and have had more anxiety than usual. And you know, unearthing certain fears that I see, and these sensations just come up so strongly in the middle of my work. And I was just thinking, you know, I mean, when I'm in that space, I do not welcome it. I just kind of push myself, persevere through it, you know, until I can get back home and meditate or get into a different kind of space. But how do you how do you balance that? Or like you were saying, we practice what we are. I'm just where does it go from there? You know, once you're letting go of all of this stuff, you just let it go into the universe and it's not going to come back or something. I don't know.
Is your question, where do you let go of all this tension? Where does all this tension that we're surrendering going?
Yeah. Where does all of that, you know, is that the purpose of this exploration? Well, each person is different.
There isn't really a purpose to this exploration in a sense. It's not really in order to relax the body or to get rid of, it's certainly not in order to get rid of anything. That's for sure. But it's really more, we come to share our true nature, you could say. We come to honor our true nature. And so for some of us, it's still a discovery. We, you know, for some of us, we come because we sort of have an intuition that there's something more or less. There's something more to me or there's something less to me, one or the other.
Yeah.
And it's an exploration that engages the mind and the body. And, you know, that it's a great adventure, this discovery, and takes a long time to really sort of percolate through and through our experience to really, really sort of realize our true nature. It takes a lot. It's never ending, this process. But so in this exploration, and particularly here, because we focus more on the tactile sense, we go to the body because the body is uncluttered by thoughts. So it's a little bit more innocent, the body. But in the body, there is the whole, there's our whole pattern, the whole story of Janice is imprinted in your experience of your body. In other words, all your habits, all the ways that you in particular have of holding yourself separate, of protecting this Janice or asserting this Janice, or all, and this is all innocent. There's no judgment in this, but some of it might relax a great deal when you begin to welcome it, as we do here, and some of it will just let go because it's not really functional. It's not really useful. So that will be easy. Other habits are tenacious. And for all of us, you know, out there in the world with our relationships, our work, whatever, we get triggered or we've had very difficult histories that are still very active in our body. So there's some of these tensions and habits of suffering, they don't relax very easily. And that's okay. You know, it's just the way it is. But the more you sort of give yourself, follow your interest, which brings you here today, and the more you really follow your interest, so also including the body, we're here in a way, you were taking a sort of bath together. in a quality of openness, a quality of listening, you could say. We're taking a bath of listening. And the more we do that, the more we allow the tensions, the seeming obstacles to really surface. And when they really surface, they cannot do anything other than to continue to surface to their dissolution and openness. That's not to say that they then don't recoalesce, you know, but there's still going to be an echo of tranquility after these sessions, or an echo of peace, an echo of openness, an echo of relaxation that over time, I don't know, it's like a whisper that you hear in your daily life. Or perhaps, for example, if you have a situation that's triggered at work, you mentioned work, and it triggers anxiety, well, you will become more able, for lack of a better word, to allow anxiety to really surface. And in even you won't have that word, that label for it so much. You'll be more interested in the intensity and raw experience of this so-called anxiety. you'll be more less maybe less quick to label.
Yes.
And divide, which we all do it, you know. And
yes,
it's really about living more in the tactile sense, because the tactile sense is innocent and more in the now and freer of mm-hmm. of referring to the me, you know. Like when you're just with the raw tactile sense, you're like a sort of innocent and like a child.
Thank you so much. That's beautiful.
Thank you, Janice, for coming.
Thank you.
It's this habit of we always know what we're feeling and doing and thinking. And when actually we don't know, we don't have a clue, you know. I mean, we do know some things, but here I think we renew with this not knowing. So that true knowing can be revealed, the deepest knowledge, which is unspeakable in a way. It's just self-revealing. But also out there in our more relative life, we will need to know things like how we feel or what we think about something, but we will be more, our listening will be wider and less quick to grab for something I know so I can be safe in my knowledge of what this is and how I feel. So we still know things, but it won't be so much in service of security or defending or asserting. It will be something else, which still will have to do with the person that we are, but maybe a more essential, freer sense of our personhood. That's enough, Ellen.
Hi,
Jenny.
Hi, thank you so much. It's been my third time, I think, and it's really powerful for me, this tactile, being with the tactile sense. Somehow it changed a lot the way I meditate, simply because it's, new and therefore exciting. But also I wanted to maybe ask you about this war with the mind that's going on inside of me. Because it's so quick, like I feel the strong aliveness, you know, this inside the body going into the tactile, especially in the first half of the meditation. It's this like kind of like crazy energy and somehow a happiness through this energy. And then the mind is but constantly, I know this now, next, you know, can we do something, like can we do something else, but in the sense of how does this improve now? How does this intensify now? How does this...
That's great, because there you have it, you know. That's a big fish of separation, you could say. This habit of the mind, I love how you said, you know, how can we improve this? How can we, you know, make this efficient, make this like...
More so intense.
More
out of it.
Yeah. So you have something in your hands there. You have, well, you know, what else, when we talk about the ego or the separate self, that's it. In other words, it's the separate self doesn't really exist, nor the ego, but habits, clusters of more, what, when, how, can I, more, you know, that comes in the form of that kind of thinking. And it's great that it comes. And it's also enthusiasm, you know, it's also partly your youthful enthusiasm, like, wow, this is so exciting, you know. And so, you know, it's not, you just have to begin to explore that too. So not so much the content of the thoughts, because it's not really the place, but the energy of the thoughts and the feeling that gives rise to the thought, how can I make this more quick. It's a sense, a certain feeling behind there, a certain feeling of I want more. Mm-hmm. And I want more, a certain feeling behind there, like not enough.
Yeah.
Scared, not enough. And, you know, and you can go, you sort of trace it back, and there's the feelings get, they as the further you go back, the more raw and intense the feeling. And we all arrive at the same sort of terror of death, you know, or existential knot. So you have it there, and there's no rush, you know, just there's nothing to get rid of. You don't have to get rid of this thinking, this, it's much, it would be way too easy if we could go there with a nice big thing and like, you know, like we're gonna get rid of that thinking, we're gonna throw it out the shrine. No. nope, you're not done with it, and you may never be done with it. It seems to me that it's a complicated thing to be a human being and to sort of dance with this deep habit of believing myself to be separate, and then these glimpses of freedom of that. And so you have to explore those, not so much, as I said, the thoughts, but the quality and feeling that gives rise to that thought, welcoming it. Exploring it means really welcoming it, letting it be completely there without labeling it. And if there's a resistance to it, then welcoming that. and that. But at some point, something, your good intention, your willingness to sort of welcome, it's as if God was looking down at you and saying, oh, Jenny, she's doing such a good job. Now we're going to take it for her. It's something meets you at some point. There's something not, and then it's back to the same old, but it's like this little.
Yeah, thank you.
But don't fight too hard. If you find yourself fighting, maybe get take a break and.
Yeah.
Or just go with the thinking and say, yeah, what's more? Come on, quicker. You just go with the thinking and embody it fully and see what it's like. And then you know, it's like you play the game and you get a chance to see it also from that perspective, to really feel yourself to be this impatient, insatiable.
Yeah, I think also the mind is just insulted by the fact that, you know, it can't do this. This yeah. It can't do. My mind is insulted, I think, by this. So it can't manufacture this. There's not, you can't figure out by through studying a linear way, and then, you know, it doesn't work.
The mind can understand what it is we're doing here. So now we talked a bit, and that might give your mind a little bone that it can, like when we're doing the yoga, your mind can be like a dog with its little bone on the side of the room. Oh, I know what they're doing. They're doing that. But I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you're right. It helps too.
And yeah. And if you need, you know, it's great that you have a strong mind. I mean, I think we're in a culture of thinking, so we all like to think about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more difficult to just feel and just stay with it. Anyway, thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Could you talk a little bit more about the welcoming? That's something that's really difficult for me, because it's not something I can do. It sounds welcoming, it sounds so active.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not something you can do. It's very misleading when I say, when you hear welcome, but it's... When we say that, or when I say that, or when, you know, Francis, my teacher, used to say that, welcome the totality of your experience. And of course, it's like, whoa. How do I do that? It's true, you don't. It's actually, it's more that you discover that it's already a fact that everything that arises is welcomed by nature. or maybe welcomed is too positive a word, but everything that arises is allowed by nature, including the resistance, including the desire not to welcome, or the feeling that I am not welcoming is welcome, is arising, is allowed. So when we say welcome, it's really to challenge. Really, when I say welcome, I think what I mean is be willing to feel what is here now. And if it's a difficulty, if you're feeling a difficulty to welcome, that's what's here now. I think what is meant by that is multiple. So it's also when you hear that welcome, your experience, remember in your case that it's already, you don't have to do anything. It's already welcome, everything. Nothing could be not welcome. It's just the fact of creation. What could be unwelcomed? However, there can be a feeling of not welcoming.
So just be with it.
And in your case, because you asked this question, it's true of all of us, there's a very strong feeling of not welcoming, of resisting. It's called resistance, right, in this jargon. So when there's resistance, I would say, maybe to acknowledge that, oh, there's resistance here, and to watch that tendency to want to get rid of the resistance, that means that there's a resistance to resistance, and then we're in the cycle resisting.
Yeah, so, it feels like an endless fight.
Yes,
you know, I want to welcome and I can't. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you just don't do anything at all. Don't even get into that game. Don't get into the game. Am I welcoming? Not well. I want to welcome. I'm not. I'm resisting. Just do your very best to feel, and maybe also to feel the pain of this, because there's a deep suffering here. It's a very deep suffering that you're sort of trying to articulate or sharing, which is this helplessness of that one who's supposed to welcome, but is itself feeling itself is not feeling welcome, or is feeling helpless, or it's you're right in the heart of your suffering at that moment. And so there's another approach, another way would be to fall on your knees, literally, to, in a way, the way of devotion, the way of saying, I'm not succeeding here. I am failing. I don't know how to welcome. I don't know how to not welcome. I don't know any of this. I don't understand it. And that sometimes takes you to something more, I want to say, emotional, which in a funny way can be so much easier to welcome, because now you feel your heart. Now you feel something. You see what I mean? It's less abstract, it's less conceptual, it's more like a feeling of anger or grief, or, and then you there, it's easier, there you can let it, you taste it, you allow it, you,
yeah, this touched me a lot. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you can explore that now. But you know, it's all artificial. I just want to add that all these ways of suggesting, they're sort of artificial, really.
Yeah.
And maybe the fact that you touch when you hear me say fall on your knees, that's because probably it's the best way for all of us, just fall on our knees and realize that nobody can welcome in a way, and no, you know, we can't do any of this. But nevertheless, we. Anyway, enough said.
Thank you.
We're almost done, but Corinne is with us, and some of you don't know Corinne because she hasn't been in a while, but the tradition is and was that Corinne always offers a poem at the end. So if you have to go, you know, please, you don't have to stay, but I'm going to give Corinne the mic so she can, and she always shares more than just a poem. All right, Cuckoo.
I just have so much bursting in me to say. No, I was listening, really. It was beautiful because it just, everything corresponds. You know what I love so much, that you said something early on, that we allow little sips of openness in our mind and our body and our hearts. And it's just like that. We're always giving and receiving reciprocally, always. That image of, I had the image of a little, we have birds in the spring and then we see the babies and their mouths open and we see their moms and dads come and feed them. They're both, it's this openness, you know, reciprocal. And I just, just to see what we're giving and receiving, you know, just in the world, what we're receiving from the world and offering to the world at once. And to figure this, like, you know, the gesture of giving and receiving is always openness. You know, we give, we open, and we open to receive. And so just two perfect things. And also that, you know, that kind of safety accompanied with openness, freedom, that's home, that's belonging. And that's why we love so much to come here, and I love so much to come here, because it's just that, it's home and it's belonging and safety and openness. It's beautiful, and thank you so much. So just please, they're short. Is it all right?
Of course. Thank you. Oh,
this is from Rilke. It's from a longer poem. And I'll include that when I send it, like where it's from. Truly being here is so much, because everything here apparently needs us. This fleeting world, which in some strange way keeps calling to us. Us, the most fleeting of all. Once for each thing. Just once. No more. And we too, just once. And never again. But to have been this once, completely, even if only once. To have been at one with the earth, with the world, seems beyond undoing. And exactly, it goes with this. And when you said to die, if we can let to die be beautiful, above everything, this is from David Ignatow, poet. I wished for death often, but now that I am at its door, I have changed my mind about the world. It should go on. It is beautiful, even as a dream, filled with water and seed, plants and animals, others like myself, ships and buildings, and messages filling the air. A beauty, if ever I have seen one. In the next world, should I remember this one, I will praise it above everything.
Thank you, Cuckoo. We will praise us tonight. Thank you, everyone. You're free, feel free to unmute yourselves and Say bye, hi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coco.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ellen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. Thanks, Coco.
Thank you, Ren. Good to see you.
I love you guys so much.
See you soon, everyone.
Yes. Thank you.
Go gently.
Yes. So wonderful to be here.
Bye then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Hilka. Bye, Anna.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Corinne. Also,
thank you, Corinne. Bye, Mukti. Bye, Nishkala.
Ciao.